good.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm getting there.
He's learning something.
God made his apple. He's sending us a mullet to make his apple.
And so we're going a little bit deeper. We're trying to go a little deeper here.
Where do I find this?
We started playing the base park shishi. We started something new. Yes, son. I'm going to see you. I'm Perakamishi. Sidra Adam Baruch Hu. He's talking about the order. God's order. Shanhagas and Ramekulai, that the way he chooses around the world, Ben Mashal Mishpat and Maisham Shabbat Mechira, he judges people to make choices. Ben Mashal Mishpat is Chadish Ben and Biyasad. And there's the part of the world that doesn't have choice. God runs there too. There's two parts in the world. There's the part of the world where people have choices and they get judged. And then there's a chelek, there's a portion of the world of creatures of Nevi'im that they don't make choices, but God also is mashkiach on them, and he sets them up in an orderly fashion. What order is it? Yes, perhaps he makes them. It's similar. It's to be compared to the way a monarchy, a kingdom, is set up on this earth. So the way we conceive a kingdom on this earth, it's not something that a bunch of people just came together and formed some kind of formulated some kind of concept. And let's go make a king. And a king's word should be law. He should be able to kill people at will and confiscate their property and make an army and fight wars. That's not true. It's not a homegrown institution. Malchus in this world is the way it is because of the Malchus that there is in the real world.
There's a monarchy. There's a democracy in the real world?
No. Democracy is not Malchus. But
we have no such thing as Malchus nowadays. Like, all things like
There's very little.
The parliament.
There is very little. Right, there's very little Malchus in this world.
But at the time when there was Malchus.
Yes, right, that Malchus was came the Malchus of the Shemayim. Right. There is very. The Gemara talks about the leniency about a mitzvah to go out and see, to act the king, even a non-Jewish king. However, Nicholas Malkin was
supposed to run.
Yeah, he was supposed to run to see it, and the Kohen could even jump over caskets with his dead people outside. Even though the German is supposed to avoid doing that, because they might come to become tamei, but they're allowed to do it. In this particular case, there's a proper space in between the body and the lid of the casket. Remember that from last year's Gemara? But in any case, it's a leniency in halacha that even a kohen is allowed to jump over a casket in order to experience the entourage of the Kohen Shekin. The Gemara says why? Because in the Masechta Mavi, you've got to see the difference between the superficial Malchus and the real Malchus, the essence of Malchus, we have to see it. But there's a mitzvah to see Malchus of a guy. When Queen Elizabeth was coronated, this was years ago, it was 60 years ago. She was a young girl. She was the daughter of King George. She didn't have sons, so she became the queen. So by Yana Bloch watched the coronation on television. It was in the middle of the night because of the time difference, like a 6-hour time difference between England and Cleveland or whatever. So he went to watch it on TV. It's a mitzvah to see Malchus. It's a mitzvah, so you can learn a lot to see Malchus. My Rebbe, the Rosh Shapiro, he was in England. He's a very, very premiumistic Jew. Hidden, the internalism by him is the main, the bulk of what he is, and what he shows is very little. It seems to be. So he asked someone to take him to Buckingham Palace. My friend, Our friend took him to Buckingham Palace. And he went there, and they just walked back and forth by the gates of Buckingham Palace. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a lot of majesty there. It does look majestic. And the guards and the changing of the guards, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. But it looks like a lot of cover. There's a lot of cover there. It's not like America where the president will have a reading list of them. It's a lot of protocols, a lot of cover. And he walked back and forth in deep concentration. And then he went back to the car. And he just said one sentence. He said, Ein habem akuth po. There's not a lot of majesty over here. He was trying to sense it. He was trying to pick up the markers to try and see an example of Marcus in this world. Because if you could see what Marcus is in this world, it gives you some kind of connection, some kind of concept of what the Marcus in Shemayim is. Because the two are supposed to have some resemblance to one another, but there wasn't. It wasn't. There's no Marcus nowadays. There is no Marcus nowadays.
So what's God's purpose in making sure that the Marcus here is?
Right, what is the purpose? Okay. That there's parallels. Everything you have in the Malchus in this world, in Shemayim you have a direct parallel to it. And you know, the theme of this sefer is good for neshama. Everything is good for neshama. So a person has a body, which is physical, and he has a soul, which has nothing to do with physical. A tree has a body, which is physical, and the tree has a spiritual life force which has nothing to do with the physical. So now he's applying this to concepts and systems. There's a system of Malchus that's physical. It manifests itself in physical ways. It can be envisioned. It can be, this impact can be felt in the physical world. And it can be understood in physical terms. That's Malchus, you know. In your mind, it conjures up your mind. Robes of sable and the gold and velvet crowns and the scepter and the throne and nobles and dukes and archbishops and the, right, and pages and jesters and honor and covet, and it's all physical. It's conceptual, it's physical, but there's a soul, there's a majesty which has nothing to do with physicality, cannot be explained by anything physical. There's a king that has no body. And there's a throne that cannot be sat on by a physical human being, you know. And one comes from the other. So there's got to be similarities. If a parent gives birth to a child, the child will look like the parent. And the child will have certain tendencies the parents have. So if the Hashem created a spiritual Malchus, even though it has nothing to do with physicality, but if it gives birth to physicality, there's going to be similarities. But the dinim, there's a judicial branch, Sanhedrin has a supreme court, and called the Chen, who was there, and all court systems do have things in common. They're advocates, they're defenders, you know, Sanhedrin, you're talking with Shana, In the Piyutim, in Rosh Hashanah, Amnon came, the Piyut of Amnon came, which is a Chazor Shashat. You see, we dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu. Haskateger, silence the prosecuting angels. The Katsanegar who came there, and let the mayor, the advocate for the defense, take his place. There's a box. There's a box for the judiciary. You know, the bar. The bar. Where do you get the term the bar? To pass the bar. Where do you pass the bar? What does it mean to pass the bar? American, they don't even know what it is. Passing the bar. What bar? Who bar? You pass the bar. I don't pass the bar. There's a bar there. I go right in there. Pass the bar. Because in England, in the British judicial system, there's a bar. There's an actual bar. You stand by it in court. You pass the bar. It's part of a ceremony, passing the bar. And there's a place. There's the prosecuting lawyers and the lawyers for defense. And they have places. Designated places. And that's also part of cover. And it's also part of majesty. Everything has to have its place, and the prosecuting lawyer has his place, and the defense has his place, and there's a logic behind it. And we don't want that from Shmuel. Take the lawyer for the prosecution out, silence him, tie up his tongue, and let the defense take his place, replace him. Why? Because the Malchus of Shemayim is the source for Malchus HaNaretz. It's going to have the same thing. And when somebody goes to Shemayim, and when he's judged, so then he has lawyers. There's lawyers in Shemayim. What are the lawyers? Where did Malchus come from? The lawyers for our defense come from our mitzvahs. Prosecution come from ourselves, right? We condemn ourselves.
It's actually going to be cool.
But there's a process.
No, that's weird. Why?
But there is a process.
I saw a video. The guy who died, and he came back to life. It's a whole story.
A lot of bad experience.
Yeah.
The guy in spot like that.
Video. It's like a whole, everyone knows about this guy. He basically got into
that guy in spot, you know?
He got into an accident.
Probably the same guy.
In a car. He was doing concealed through.
Oh, like we met the guy.
We met the guy. Basically, he lost, like, his arm and legs were all broken.
He was frozen?
Frozen?
Whatever.
All right, someone else. Never
mind. Basically, like, he got into an accident. And he's in a car, and he got into an accident. He's passed out, and while he died, he was actually legally pronounced dead. Huh? So he came back, and they revived him. But in those 2 seconds, it's like a whole thing that went, a whole day that went up at Shemayim. And he said he went into this area where he looked at himself, and he didn't feel in place. He felt like he was dirty compared to everybody. And there's a whole lot of judges and like rabbis. And he saw like a whole, when they came to the defense, and he said he couldn't speak. They took away his voice. He had no ability to speak. And when it came for his defense, all these malachim, like different forms came. And then they would show each, and they would each say the mitzvah that he did. And he felt good. But then it came for the prosecution. And one by one, like different things would come. Different malachim, whatever, weren't good, obviously, you could sense it. And then ultimately, God, like, built an ultimate voice of light instead of something. It's weird. I don't know what exactly.
The only thing worse than the Moranis
is like the cemetery.
Huh?
It cleans the cemetery. It cleans the cemetery.
I don't know.
That's why they let him go back to
the... I don't know.
Now, Kesh Boker does it for a reason. Any thinking person would understand that Hashem doesn't have to do this. Hashem wants the person? Hashem says, leave. Forever. Hashem doesn't want the person? Goodbye. Go ahead.
Why kill him and bring him back?
Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I have a court date.
I'm trying to explain that. Why set up like a tribunal, like a court? You know? I have absolutely no idea why that happened.
Yossi ben Yoezer Ishtreda.
And then...
So what does that have to do with the Malchus here and the Malchus?
Yeah, Hashem chooses to have a Malchus.
Why down here? Why is it...
That's something which is... It's a natural cause and effect. Nothing down here was self-generated. Nothing down here could create itself.
So everything it has... Basically, everything here is just a...
It's an extension. It's a child.
A mirrored image.
It's a child. No, it's a child of the first original creation. Hashem created something which is not physical.
Is that the term he uses?
What?
Is that the term he uses?
What, child? No, that's not his term.
What does he refer to?
He talks about it as Olam HaEyon. Olam is HaEyonim. That give chiyus to the Olam HaTachton.
Olam HaElyon?
Olam HaElyonim, giving light to the Olam HaTachton.
So Elyon is the top one?
That's the word without Gashmius. I try to avoid using terms like up and down and in and out.
Wait, so is God saying that there's like a bar in Shemayim? Like, because there's bars
there. There's no place. There's no evil in Shemayim.
So not everything is made from there.
There's wine there.
There's wine in Shemayim?
Yes.
What kind of heck? That's physical. Spiritual.
Right. That's a good one. Let me give this a very good example. In case you're struggling with this. What does physical line do physically? It makes you go to sleep. It makes you act silly. Okay? That's what it does physically. If you're thirsty, it'll quench your thirst. All those things and more. What else does it do? That, yeah, it brings
it's very spiritual high.
Reduces inhibition.
It could, right. It takes away limitations. It takes away limitations. All the things you said were spiritual high, it takes away limitations. That's not a physical thing. Physical things are limitations. So, physical realm does physical things, and spiritual realm enables a person to go beyond his limits, and that you have in Shemayim. But the whole Shemayim, if someone's zeicher, if he merits, the whole Shemayim is realm.
There's no limitations. So why would you need something to allow you to have no limitation if you want to?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The definition of Shemayim is wine.
Oh, so there's wine in Shemayim.
I'm going one step further, explaining what that means. That the whole Shemayim can be described as wine.
Okay, fine. But the concept of what wine does.
Well, Torah is called wine. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Ki Tovim Deidecha Miyayim. And the Chazal say the word miyayim means Yom HaShatayah. So, Ki Tovim Deidecha Miyayim. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Your kisses, your love is better than the wine of Torah. I mean, that Pasuk needs an explanation for itself. The Chazal say that the Pasuk, when the Pasuk says the word yayin, it refers to Yom HaShatayah. And the gematria of yayin is 70, and that's where you get the, it's a reference to the concept of the Shivan Panam L'Torah. Mi yayin. Ki Tovim Deidecha Miyayim. Well, I want to have Shalom Mechaka, once we mention the Pasuk, so then, let's not just let it go by so fast. Ki Tovim Deidecha Miyayim, there's two ways you can translate that Pasuk. It's Klal Yisrael talking to God. The Kaal are talking to the Pasuk. And it's by Hashinah. That's the setting for Shir Hashirim is Hashinah. It's the love song that Klal Yisrael sent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent back at Hashinah by the Pasuk between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, Ki Tovim Deidecha Miyayim. Your love is greater than wine. So you could translate the word Miyayim as than wine. Miyayim, greater than wine. Okay, I'm sure you look at some translation, you're going to find that. And the Rebbe, one of my Rebbeim, his name is Rabbi Abba Berman, blessed memory. Rabbi Abba Berman. He was a very big, huge, deep thinker. And he says the mem in front of a word denotes a source. I came from Yeshiva. Batu Meha Yeshiva. Mem means where you came from. Kachadze min mani. Take this from me. Mem means a source.
So how do you translate according to that?
Ki Tovim Deidecha is your love is so good, miyayim, because I take the love from the world. And the word wine means Torah. So if you want to take affection, if you want to make a bond of affection, if you want to kiviyachov give a kiss to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you want to be beloved to him, Ki Tovim Deidecha, because it's good. That is the ultimate toiv. Is to be beloved, to be one with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Miyayim, take that on the land of Torah.
So it will be translated your Torah?
Miyayim, from the land of Torah.
From your wine.
From the land of Torah. Now, your love, the way to access your love is from the land of Torah. That's the pshat. Because you can't kiss God physically.
Your love is good from the land.
The ultimate goal, the greatest goal, the Torah. Torah means the ultimate is your love, which is derived from the Torah. Okay. You want to put that into English. You take the decha miyayim, take it from the wine of Torah. Because some of the learned Torah is without limit. There is no limit. And if you learn Torah, then you transcend all limitations. Down the way, you were able to do Mechayim Mason. Every day, you're Mechayim Mason. You know the Gemara Masechus Megillah. The rabbi and the observer had a poem Suda. And he got Agashikut. Pashim Shalat and Rashi.
We had our Seder.
Rashi says he got shikr from the wine, and he shechted Reb Zera. And then he brought him back to life. That is the ultimate in transcending limitations. And he didn't have to travel around to do it. And look, nobody makes a big deal of it.
He's probably drunk.
No, not everybody gets away. No, it makes a big deal of it. It's like a matter, eh? Okay, you can't do that.
That's crazy, bro.
And nobody made a religion out of it. Religion called rebelism, you know? Oh, you've got to turn back to life. Let's deify him. Let's make the holy thingy over here. The holy Smetskutsky. And then make a religion. No, do it. The next time you do it, goes right there. Take my whole conspiracy, right? Because somebody that is Torah, not just somebody that learns Torah, somebody that is Torah, that means, yeah, his mind is Torah, he thinks like a Sefer Torah, and he acts like a Sefer Torah, and he's deep like a Sefer Torah, he's endlessly deep, so there's no limitations. That's why.
You compare that to wine because wine has no limitations.
When brings a person to a state where his limitations are, you know.
But there's other things in the world that don't have necessarily side effects of wine. No limitations. I mean, just.
Wine is the kosher one. Wine is the kosher one. So other things are not kosher to do the similar things. Wine is the kosher one. And that's why there's so many mitzvahs with wine. You know, wine is so many mitzvahs affiliated with wine, because wine is the kosher one. I mean, there's other substances that bring people to states, all kinds of states, yeah. But the wine is the kosher one. They might mimic the effects of wine on the outside. But on the inside, the effect is not the same. Wine expands a person, and other substances can constrict a person. And limit his options, and you know, make that he's closed in, he can't go outside of himself, as we very well know. That there's certain substances, that the effects of those substances, the person cannot. That's one of the signs, by the way. Someone wants to detect. One of the signs, a professional said, one of the signs of addiction is a person can't be brought outside of himself. He's wrapped up inside of himself, you can't bring him out of himself. You try and get someone to see the bigger picture. And just step out of yourself. Take two steps out of your limitations and try to see the big picture, where you're going and the ramifications of what you're doing. And there's a big world out there and there's other people. And you just can't get the person outside of yourself. That's one of the signs. And that's not a sign of someone that's under the influence of wine. Wine has the opposite effect. In excess, anything is damaging. Certainly wine is damaging in excess. But wine and kiddush is not wine in excess. And then, but you're sitting at your table, not driving, you know, not throwing up all over the place. You're sitting by your pharmaceutical, and you're eating, and you're drinking wine. That's not an excess.
Right? You drink some water to take that bottle. You have to make a
bottle. But wine in excess is very dangerous.
No. What about it?
Because it takes away the inhibitions. Wine takes away the inhibitions, and too much of that is very dangerous. If a person has a spirit soar outside of his body, that's also very dangerous. It might not come back. Too much wine, too much removing the limitations is very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous.
Water, the hano of water is the question. The hano of anything else.
So everything in Shemayim has a counterpart on earth. And it's not just a counterpart. Hashem created the thing in Shemayim. Hashem did not create the thing on earth. Hashem created the thing in Shemayim. The thing in Shemayim created the thing and gave birth to it. Hashem did create everything, but it's in stages.
In a way, what we're saying is here, didn't we speak about this in the last parak? Where Hashem created the Malach, who created that first...
Exactly. So now we're extending this. Now we're talking about people. Somehow or another, it's very easy for people to relate to the fact that there's ruchnius, there's a body and soul. When you tell them a tree has a soul, they freak out. But now it's extending it to a system. That's this part. There's a system. And that's why it emerged in this world. A system.
Everything has a soul, even systems?
Yes, exactly. That is pinklet. You know what Yiddish with pinklet means?
Perfect.
think triple white. That is exactly. Everything is concepts, emotions, ideals. Communism has a Moloch.
We created that, though. I mean, we created that.
Well, concept. You know, the truth
why
is,
that, like,
the truth is the concept. The concept that the ideal is more. The concept that the ideal is more important than the individual, which is what communism is all about. Capitalism is that the individual is allowed to enjoy the fruits of his labors and have private property. But communism is that the ideal of communism, the ideal of everyone coming together as one, and everything should be done for the sake of the ideal and not for the individual. It's communism, and of course it led to excesses. Where the governing body just absorbed everything, and they were the biggest capitalists of all. But even the concept has its roots in Migdal Bava. You're in Migdal Bava, but it's a medrash, it's a Migdal Bava. So, you know, they're building a structure of great heights. And it was a risky venture. Because they were great heights, and I don't know if they had modern scaffoldings and things to protect them. And some of them fell off. And okay, one less worker. It was a tragedy. One less worker. But when the building material fell off by accident, that there was an occasion when the actual brick and mortar fell off, there was more, it made more of an effect.
Is there a medrash? I heard this, I don't know if it's even a medrash, that in the times of Migdal Bava, we had better technology than we have today.
The greatest thing that Abish had said that he had something akin to a spaceship or something.
What? How do you know what a spaceship is? You have 400.
The way he described it is this is probably what you're thinking of, right? There was something that was able to. That they were building something that would do travel. That's what he said.
That's what they were building?
No, that's what he said.
Time traveler
machine? It was able to propel itself. I don't know, but there's no magic like that. There's no magic like that. It's from one Akra, and then no one else says that. It's called a Dasi Akra. You know what Dasi Akra is? Dasi Akra. It's not part of the Messiah. If it's true, it could be true. There's nothing that says it can't be true. We could do it. Kavachami, they could do it. And they could do it better. But there's no magic like that, and no Gemara like that. So it's a Dasi Akra of an Adam Gadol. You give it the respect that it deserves. But if you're giving a shiur about it, I don't know if you should make that push the theme of your shiur, That's all.
You made new guys out of this. It's true.
So any, there's 70, there's 70 systems that Hashem created. Not that we created. There's 70 systems that Hashem created. And as people were born, each one of them grasped onto a pre-existing system. Hashem created Babylonia before Babylon.
America before Columbus.
I don't know if America is one of the 70. That's the thing. It could be it is, could be it's not. It's definitely a fragment of
what
it says.
A system, what Adam?
It means. 70 systems. It's just 70 ways of covering up God. There's 70 systems of covering up God in each nation. Took one of them. And then adapted one for the other. But Rama Vina didn't take any of them.
How many religions are there today?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's like thousands, probably.
We had a rabbi come and ask me. No, I'm saying religions is more than like 2,000
people. When the first two took the Rama, the gracious Baal that came into Shema and said, and earth. So we're talking about earth, Haisa Sayyid, Vayyid, Haishik, Afnay Sayyid. Tayyid means astounding, that means there's no way of describing it. Like, you open up your mouth, that's Tayyid. Vayyid means that there is something, it's just it's all mixed up. So there is a presence of something that's tremendously confusing. Tayyid means you can't even say confusing. It's someone goes, with the mouth open really wide, it's not confusing. There's no description. Value is all mixed up. Chayshik is you're in the dark. You don't see anything. And Tayyid is so deep that it's the end. So the Medrash says, Tell you. Tell you, Baba. Tell you, Persia Pass, Mada, Persia Media. Kaishek is. Tell you, Baba. Tell you, Persia Media. Tell us, Mada. Kaishek is. Yavan Greece. And Tahan Greece. Adam, Ram, that's where we're in right now because it's seeming Ram. And it's a time when we're in the Romans and the second day, the first day of creation. Were the Romans there? What are they on the first day of creation? Did you have a Greek Santa on the first day of creation? I love Greek Santa. I love Greek Santa. It's wonderful. But they're going to have Greek Santa on the first day of creation. So what is the Pesach referring to? Hashem created an idea, a concept, an ism. An ism, a theology, a spiritual thing. 70 different ways, four main ways, and then there's subgroups.
What? 70 different concepts.
70 nations. The 70 nations were created before.
But those aren't concepts. Those are nations.
It's an idea. Remember, what binds them as a nation? It's not just geological, it's not geological, geopolitical. They have a certain idea of it, they worship besides God.
Wait, the so Greeks, that's the Moloch of a nation then. That's talking about, like, right. Different though. That's not a Moloch. There's a Moloch for Nazi fascism or the USSR.
I didn't say that there was a special Moloch for them. I did say there could be. I said there's 70. And I don't, you know, to identify what neo-fascism is in regards to the 70, I don't think we possess the knowledge enough to do that. But it could be. They have to come from somewhere. Now, I would assume that if all the cultures we have now are not 70 distinct cultures, I would think that it's a mixture of, you know. What we're seeing now, we're living here now, is Edom together with Ishmael.
Right, Yavan. Still kind of.
Yavan is like Yavan is. See what happens historically.
We still love our bodies.
Historically, Yavan came before Adam. Alexander the Great he covered the whole world, and they worship beauty, aestheticism. But the culture was a very, very gentle culture. I mean, it was an attractive culture. And they didn't see any need to spread their culture by force of arms. You like it fine, if not that, you know. It was attractive. Right. I mean, they did conquer. And once they conquered, the culture spread automatically. It was like a noxious.
What's the point about conquering them?
Because they want everyone in the world to be like them. That's the point of their conquering.
But they didn't do it forcefully, they obviously
didn't. No, they didn't have to take the culture and shove it down people's throat. Everyone came afterwards. And they defeated Alexander the Great and his generals. But the Edom didn't have a culture. The Pesach talks about Bezir Tanaid. The Edom has no culture. Edom is a vampire. They're a parasite. They usurp the cultures of everything to take over. Edom, one of the names of Edom is Goyim. What is one of the names? One of the names of Edom is Goyim. What's Goyim? Nations. They are whatever they conquer. And they took this is historical fact. They took the Roman culture, and then they threatened people, they took the Greek culture.
That's a word, Mechama, the word
from Mechama. Lechem.
Lechem.
Consume. You consume, right. Mechama is consumption. Where did you learn that from? I recognize that from my brother, Rabbi Greenwald. We have the same father.
Wait, this Rabbi Greenwald?
Yeah, we have yes.
We have the same father, we have brothers?
We have brothers.
And why is your name Rabbi Siegel?
because we became brothers after my name was Rabbi Siegel and Rabbi Greenwald. We went by the same Rabbi, and Rabbi gives us both the same life.
Wait,
and when you said that, when
you...
same Rabbi.
Huh?
They just had the same rabbi.
You know what she says
then? A rabbi. Well, you said that part about Nachama. Nachama could similar. I recognized that it was from my rabbi's voice. And
you said your father.
My rabbi is a father, yes. It's cool, right? I'm just saying, I heard that. I heard my brother's voice. And you didn't hear it from me. You must have heard it from my brother.
Yeah, I heard from your brother.
That's right. That's what I
said. You're my father. I
can call
you
Tati. That's right. It'll take a while. You can call me Tati. It'll take a while. That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's right. That's right.
So
you have to eat more of my food, you know? More lechem. Okay. What?
What was it? For Greece?
Yavan.
No, so what was the other word for?
Oh, that was the Choshech. Darkness. Okay, So the Romans, they steal cultures, they steal the Greek culture, and by the sword, they say, accept the Greek culture, we'll kill you. Anyone who knows anything about hardcore Christianity knows that Christianity is a product of Greek culture. It's beauty, it's aestheticism, it's got multiple deities, the Trinity, it's based on Greek culture.
There's a Greek king. Wanted to make his state.
So you have a human being, that's a God in the form of a human being, that's Greek culture. Because what do the Greeks do? They humanize deities. You know, Zeus, what they were, fire.
The creation of the divine.
Right. So Christianity has its source and roots in Greek culture, and the Romans, the Crusades, throughout all the centuries, accept Christianity, and they're going to kill you. The Greeks never did that.
They
Greeks killed our people. They killed people, but they never had to kill people to force them to accept the culture, because the culture sold itself. So you're asking me if we have the Ephesism, the Nazism, is that one of the 70? The answer is it's a mixture.
So why did God create? I'm having a hard time understanding.
Go ahead.
God created 70 different nations.
Created the source of 70 different nations.
The source of 70 different nations. And within each nation, there is a different Moloch.
And that Malach's job is
to
enable people to fool themselves into thinking that's the power.
That deity
right.
is correct.
Right.
Now, why would God send in a fallacious such a force? What purpose?
That's the only purpose of creation is to have that force. Just the opposite of what you're saying.
Huh?
God hides himself and we have to discover him. And that's what Yisrael, you heard of Yisrael?
I've heard of Yisrael.
What Yisrael did is he entered the consciousness, he penetrated the secrets of every single culture and every single ideology, Islam, and philosophy, and he saw the shelter of each and every one. And then there was nothing left. And that was the purpose of the world. And that's why these things were created. Now it's a very dangerous undertaking. And since the time of Mount Torah, we no longer do things that way. But before Mount Torah, that was the purpose. Avraham Avinu did it. Yisro did it. To a certain extent, that's what Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, and Elisha Ben Avraham were trying to do. And that's what Rabbi Elisha was trying to do. He was eating from the Eitz Hadas Tavurah in order to get acquainted with the source of evil and then reject it. And see the shekel in it. It's very dangerous. And that's why since Mount Torah, we don't get close.
Right. We are part of that 70?
No, we're not part of the 70. We're not a number.
There's 71.
No, there's
we're
one at 70.
Right?
We're not.
These 70 are created.
We're just 70 ways of Shekhar. We're not part of them. There's 70 ways of hiding God. We're not part of them. We're not 71. The world is a the world's a product of one on top of seven.
Seven is Teva and Islam and
Tava. Az Yonu Bagayun. Az Yomali Spekuno. Az Yashir Moshe. Aleph? Right home. What's Az? Aleph and Zion.
Eight, and you'll have to be off by one.
It's not eight, no. It's one and seven. There's seven, and then there's one. They're not together.
There's one,
seven,
and there's seven.
Right, and the seven have to follow the one.
Yeah.
If the seven follow the one, they're okay. If the seven grew up on their own, it'd say that we're the band of seven, we're going to Then they're not okay.
Seven, why seven? Seven D.
Seven, because seven D is a seven. It's really seven.
It's seven.
Seven D is that. Seven D is taking seven and expanding it. When you add a zero to a number, you, 70 is the number seven. You want to write it?
Yeah, I do want to write it.
Okay, so why do you write it 10 for a million?
Why?
So they write the number 10. So why is the number 10 so special?
Because God created 10 things in the universe.
Because God wants one.
What?
God wants one.
So you're
saying that... And 10 is one, because 10 is one and a zero.
Then why doesn't
it
have to be
100?
Why can't it be
9?
Yeah.
First of all, there is a status to 100. Yeah. So the Mishnah Brachah says...
Status is
no, because he wants to have a multiple come together as one. And 10 people is the minimum amount of people you need to do that. Once you did that, you did it. You don't need 100. That's the minimum. You know, if you have 100 people in a minion, you also have them.
Oh yeah, but we have 10 different minyanim.
No, it's a concept of Rav Amar as well.
Why would you not dive with 100?
Is it better to have? It's better to have 10 different minyanim.
Because it's not just one more than nine. When you have nine people, you have nine people. When you have 10 people, you don't have 10 people. You have one kehila, and that's why the number is one and a zero. Because you have one. There's two ways of having one. You can have one person. And you can have 10 people that come together for one purpose, to serve the one God. That's also one. And they're both ones. One is one, and one is one expanded. But seven is the opposite. Number seven is to go out in different directions. That's why you have a center point, and you have up, down, right, left, east, south, and you have seven. So seven is expanded and called outwards. 10 has come together as one. When you get a 0 to the 7, so it means not only do you have 7 different directions, but you have the expansion. It expands into not just individuals, it's a nation. And the nations could, you know, they could come back to the 1, you know, they could come back to the 1, but they need the hour up on top of the 7. We could explain more about this on Sunday. Let's just finish the paragraph. But we can go back to this. So we have a court system. We have a magistrates and judicial system. And then Shemayim, Hashem chooses to do it that way also, even though he doesn't have to. But Hashem does. A person gets judged, and Hashem judges based on complex factors. A person's merits. Hashem doesn't have to judge a person favorably just because the person has more mitzvahs than others. Some could say, one of those, it's a bad. Could do that. You gotta be perfect. He doesn't do that. There's factors, and there's mitigating factors, and circumstances. Hashem wants to do that. Hashem wants to do chesed. If Hashem wanted to do din, then all this din would be Nisht, it wouldn't be. Chesed. Chesed.
What's wrong?